actually thought about the mind and for myself and also and also we discuss it subject with devotees, and sometimes it it is difficult to to distinguish, to separate, to understand where is the mind and where is the super soul. Sometimes you won't understand which way to go and what you have to do in some particular situation, and you think that maybe you can't understand, is it the mind or maybe this is super soul. So how to understand?
You're asking a question about how to make a decision.
Because we can hear your mind, and you can hear the voice of Paramatma.
Hearing the voice of Paramatma, I don't know that that's so readily available to every jiva on the planet. So I wouldn't so much try to attribute our activities or our decisions that we make and say that the source is Paramatma, because that would imply that you're a Paramatma realized yogi, which I don't think you are. So my understanding of this is that this, what you're talking about, the mental function, or the voice of the mind, or the voice of the soul, there's another higher regulator. Krishna says in Gita, higher than the body are the senses, and higher than the senses is the mind, and higher than the mind is the intelligence, and higher the intelligence is the self, and higher than the self is the super self, Atma Paramatma, soul and super soul, Jivatma and Bhagavan. So above the mind, there's something called Bhuti. Sharir, Deha, Sharir, body, senses, Indriya, Man, mind, then Buddhi, intelligence, then Hankar, Hankara, Chitta, Atma, like this. So this, just making a decision or making a choice or which way to go or what to do, there's two things here that come to mind we can discuss. First of all, it's a function of intelligence, not the mind. The mind discriminates. So the mind, the factor of the mind is to discriminate, to weigh and balance all the options. The mind collects information from the senses and feeds it to the intelligence. Then the intelligence makes some, what we say, intelligent choice, intelligent selection on the basis of discrimination. So the mind will analyze, the functions of the intelligence is discriminate to analyze. And this is what our shastras say, the functions of the intelligence of the mind is to accept or reject. It's a lower functioning unit, the mind. So the intelligence is supposed to be the regulator and controller of the mind. So now, to make a decision or to make a choice, that goes on in the intelligence. Once Prabhupada said in a conversation, one disciple asked Prabhupada about the same thing, "Prabhupada, I often don't know what to do. I'm not that intelligent. I don't know how to discriminate. I'm very simple. I'm kind of a little foolish type person, average person." And Prabhupada said, if you have intelligence, if God has given you intelligence, then use it. That's why I said earlier, Shastra and Yukti. Yukti is common sense. Then Prabhupada said, but if you don't have intelligence, then just follow what I say. I'll be your intelligence. So in other words, now taking that to the question, decision, making a decision and the analyzation of the opportunity, there's options before us. I can go right or I can left. I go right or left or straight, or go back where I started, or just give up this journey altogether. I go back to where I started and just abandon this whole plan. I don't go right, left, I don't go straight, I don't go anywhere. I just chanted Krishna, stay in Vrindavan. There's so many choices. So the intelligence will discriminate based on what? On conditioning from this birth and last. He'll make his discrimination based on his gunas. What gunas? The guna prabhav. It's called sabhav. I was confusing. Sabhav means a combination of its qualities and its activities. Guna and karma. Which is purva karmas. He's inherited so many tendencies and so many inclinations and tendencies. He tends to do this. He has tendency to do that. Inclinations. That's his prarabdha, which is in his chitta, samskaras. So that's called purva karma, purva sabhav. So that will influence a lot. It's called conditioning. And then, so that's part of the decision-making process. It'll be determined a lot by the, in other words, the discrimination of one in tamagun is different, categorically different than the intellectual discrimination of someone in sattvagun. You follow? Because of the higher intelligence. And so there's one is the conditioning from birth and from growth, from last life, carrying into this life, and from this life what we collected. The next thing is based on experience. The other choice goes by experience. Well, I had to make this choice. One time I did it like this and it worked. So I think it makes sense that I should do it like that again. It should work again. So that's called the experience. And remembering the experience and taking advantage. So the intelligent person will look into his storehouse of experience. He'll look into his storehouse of experience. And then he'll look at, then his actual decision will be shaped. His decision will be shaped a lot by his conditioning. But he'll look into his storehouse of experience. Now that's for the ordinary man. So the storehouse of his experience includes not only which means this life's experience, because his inclinations and tendencies from last life are just that. There's no more to be experienced in last life. So his experience means from birth to now. So his experience plus his conditioning from last life and that collected experience up to now. So part of his experience up to the present time of making a decision is the knowledge he's collected. The books he read. Now, there's four people that are trying to make a decision in the kitchen. Well, how do you make a bread? Well, I saw my mother did it like this, and then she just put all these things together and put it in the oven. Okay, so we put all those things together and put it in the oven, and then what? Okay, we did, but it didn't come. Well, it just sat there. Oh, I don't know. So does anybody know? Oh, I don't know. Do you know how to make bread? I don't know. And then you call somebody. Do you know? Yeah, I know. So did you, what do you put in? A flour, salt, is that? You put any yeast, or maybe we don't use yeast or whatever. You put baking powder, baking soda, yeast. Oh, what's that? No, I don't know. I didn't, that goes too. Yeah, you never saw your mother? Yeah, I saw, but I didn't see. So the knowledge that we've acquired, so the acquired knowledge, which is part of our experience, not only sensual experience, you know, suffering, enjoying, whatever. But the knowledge, so it's a combination of knowledge, conditioning, experience. Then we can make a decision. And then we just pray to Krishna to make a decision. That decision that's being made is produced in the intelligence. And the mind, so the intelligence is giving a very good suggestion. But the mind is, as we heard, it's very powerful. And it doesn't want to listen to anyone. It's pramati. Pramati means I don't listen to anybody. Pramati balavandridam. And who are you, intelligence? You're just a skinny guy with all these big thick glasses looking at shastras all the time. You know, intelligence is like some big scholar, you know, this guy sitting behind books all the time studying. The mind is like this active guy, you know, come on now, let's do something. Okay, what do you got to say? You should do like this. Ah, shut up. He's like the sage on the hill, you know, and the mad material, the crazy materialist runs up to the top of the hill. Hey, listen, sage, what should I do? Oh, you should do this. Okay, thank you. I'm not doing that. So the mind is functions sankalpa vikalpa. That's all it's told, accepting and rejecting. Then whatever the mind accepts, then it energizes the senses to carry out that decision, and then the success is up to the super soul and the demigods and your senses, and so many five factors of action are there. And destiny, of course, is one of them. So I wouldn't bring the super soul. It's not like the super soul. You have an app on your phone called Super Soul. Did you get that? Did you download that latest app? Yeah. Did you get the SS app? What's the SS app? Oh, it's only available on Apple phones. Oh, I don't have Apple phone. They don't have an Android? No, I think it's coming soon. But right now it's only on an Apple phone. It's called SS app. What does that mean? It means super soul. Whenever you don't know how to make a decision, you just press that button and you speak into the voice. It's a voice box, you know, voice message. You say, oh, super soul. This option is there, that option is there. What should I do? And he says, okay, let me think. And he meditates for a second. Then you'll get an SMS. You'll hear him speak, but if you don't understand, then it'll give you an SMS. Come within 30 seconds. Oh, that's a nice app. So it's not that everybody gets a set of neck beads, gets an optional free. You know, they get a free 1-year trial run of the SS app on their telephone. Okay, your name is Krishnadas. Here's your neck beads. You chant 16 rounds a day. Look, here's a card. Here's a password on it. You're good for 1 year on the SS app. Stuff like that. To hear the voice of the super soul, this is some very high thing. So Krishna gives intelligence. He says in the Gita, intelligence comes from me. And so now the devotee, I was just speaking how the materialist will make a decision. Now the devotee is also a materialist. He's not a mukta purusha. He's not a jivan mukta. He's not liberated. So all these same functions apply there, but his experience and his acquired knowledge are different. His experience and acquired knowledge are all Krishna-based. He studied the Vedas, he studied the Gita, and he understands the three modes of nature. And he understands that he can analyze people and circumstances. He can analyze the time. The five factors are, what are the five factors? Kala, Desha, Patra. These are the three factors. And then he can analyze the time. He can analyze the circumstance and the persons on the basis of his knowledge, which is Bhagavad Gita, 11th canto of Bhagavatam, so many other places. So now his intelligence is very, very strong because it's full of Shastra, Shastric guidance and Shastric experience of the rishis and sages and Shastric insight and Shastric recommendations. So when he has to deal, make a decision, it's Krishna speaking through the intelligence. That's all I can say. Super soul, I know a super soul telling me this, that. You'll have to incorporate, and any intelligent man will have to incorporate all these points of discrimination before making a decision. That's why we say in English, don't take a rash decision. Rash means fast, quick, unthought. And one person gave me advice once when I was growing up. He said, if you're going to make a very, very serious move in your life, you have to make a serious decision, you should think a thousand times over before you make that decision. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, there's some serious decision, like if you decide, this is an Indian person told me. He said, like if you decide to get married, in India that's for life, forever, and maybe for seven lives. They do the Fedras or something like that, Fedras. They go seven circles around the fire, in the Vivaha Yajna, marriage ritual. Husband and wife, sari and dhotis tied together. You saw? Seven times, which represents seven births. So that's the minimal imprisonment. That's the minimal imprisonment for committing the crime of marriage. 7 births in prison. And if you're really, really crazy about the marriage thing, you might be in for more than 7 births. You might be in jail for 21 births, or maybe 100 births, or maybe unlimited births. Ananta Kal. Most people, unless they get the favor of God, they're in Ananta Kal, which means unlimited marriages for unlimited births. So you're speaking, since you're a devotee, and you're asking a question of other, and speaking in your introduction, this is other devotees in a dilemma about making a decision. I grew up as a Catholic. I remember the priest used to tell us in the Catholic school, I said, how do we make a serious decision? He said, first you do, in our terms, we would say, you do vandanam and you do nyas. Do vandanam, nyas, and karma. This is the Christian way. So my priest, he told me when I was a Catholic, he said, if you have to make a serious decision, first you do vandanam. Vandanam means pray to God. You pray to God, oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. Please show me the way. Please give me the right words to say. Please give me the right gestures to make. Please give me the right intonation of my voice. Please give me the right body language, right posture. Please give me the right timing. When is the right time? Please give me understand exactly the proper circumstance and just at the right time to say this thing, important thing I have to say, or to ask for this thing or make this decision. So you make some prayer with a very, very specific, pointed prayer. He says you make the prayer and then you do nyas. Nyas means I forget the term. It's called, I think it's called genuflect. It's called genuflect. You go, first you touch your middle finger, to be precise, you touch your middle finger to your Ajna Chakra, your third eye. Then you touch your middle finger to your Anahata Chakra. Anahata Chakra means sacred heart. They show Jesus, sometimes they show a heart. They show a heart and they show Jesus inside the heart or outside. A picture of Jesus with a big heart or something. Some vague Christian image. You've seen? Something like some heart is there. So first you touch your middle finger like ladies' bindi, Indian bindi. You touch between your, it's called Madhya Bru. In the chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it says when the yogi leaves this world, he fixes his, at the time of leaving the world, when he's meditating, he may meditate on the tip of the nose, or Madhya Bru. But when he's leaving his body, he's supposed to focus all his attention on his Ajna Chakra, third eye point between the eyebrows in the center of the head, actually, going from there and there. There, center point down, and there in, where they intersect. You follow? That's called Brahmarandra. That will go to the Brahmarandra. This point is a horizontal line, and the midpoint of the head, front to back, is the vertical line, yeah? You follow? If I go like that, I missed. So if this goes straight, they meet here, yeah? Common sense. So first, you genuflect, you touch first, you touch here, then the heart, then left shoulder, then right shoulder, and then you do Pushpanjali. It's called nyas and mudra also. This is a mudra. It's called prayer mudra. It's in Veda also. In Christian terms, I think it's called genuflect. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But it's in the Vedic term, it's called nyas. It's one of the things you give up in Rag Bhakti. That's an interesting point. So that's how we make a decision as a Christian. Because we're discussing how to make a decision. How do we know it's a supersoul telling me? Or is it my mind? Is it a supersoul? It's neither. Decisions are made by combining your mind with your intelligence. And then your indriya, and your Atma, and the Paramatma, and the Devatas, and the place, and the time, all these factors. That's it, boss. Argument, put all your arguments to rest. Now, if you're a fool, you're a mork, or pagal and have no intelligence, then he should take advice from someone who's intelligent. Oh, Prabhu, I don't know what to do, you know. My mind's telling me to do like this and like that. I don't know, I think Krishna's telling me to do like that. I mean, I especially hear this now. I never heard this when Prabhu was here, because anybody talked like that when Prabhu was here, he would slap them. You nonsense. Or someone's, because immediately people tell Prabhu, there's only one guru, and there's 1,000 disciples. So if any disciples speaking crazy like that, they would probably, someone would tell, because there was always some senior godbrother, they would tell Prabhu, Prabhu, he's talking crazy. He said, bring him here. What are you talking about? To your service, generate Krishna. Just depend on Krishna for the result. Make it, think intelligently. Think about it many from all. Think about this decision from all different angles. Get different input from other people, and then go deep into yourself. Pray to Krishna, and then whatever idea comes to your intelligence, then you just say yes, and with determination and all your energy and enthusiasm, you try to do that. And if you fail or die, no, you'll start again next life. No problem. That's what Prabhu would say. So I would say the same thing that. This leave the super soul alone. Let him sleep on the Anatta Shesh, and let him relax with Lakshmi Devi massaging his feet. Don't disturb the super soul. Krishna. Many times I just listen. Is it, no one ever comes and humbly asks for anything. But since I've been 30 years in India, I've had the great fortune to meet most of the new generation of devotees. I don't mean all the numbers, but I mean. I'm meeting all the new generation. I don't meet any Prabhupada disciples, but I meet plenty of the new generation of devotees, means disciples of my Guru Bhais. And most of them, as everyone knows without me saying, they're all from that large area of the world, largest area of the world, or three quarters of the world, I suppose, is there in terms of continents. It's, you know, from that China, Russia, that whole thing, that's like. More than everything put together. You know, if you see the accurate real size, whatever, very powerful, huge country. So most everyone's basically, say, all Russian devotees. And if Russian devotees don't like it, because I'm not from Russia, I'm from Estonia. And we have our own characteristics, we have our own culture, we even have our own language. You know, so just like here, the same thing in India. Like someone says, oh, are you from Bengal? You look a little like, because you know, you're looking at them, they look like they're Bengali face and everything. And if they're not, if they're from somewhere else, like Punjab, I'm not Bengali, I'm Punjabi. They get angry. Oh, excuse me. So the same thing. All the time, he's Russian devotee. I'm sure the Russians have to tolerate that, because wherever they go, oh, Russian devotee. And he's thinking inside himself, of course, he should think I'm a spirit soul. But the other person's giving him a designation. And maybe saying, oh, you Russian devotees are all like this. So anyway, back to our decisions making. I think just to what I said is, basically for a devotee making a decision, he takes input from other devotees. That's the advantage of sadhusanga. Because when sadhus come together, then the super soul speaks. And you're saying, oh, super soul told me to do this. I don't know if it's a super soul inside of me. It just seems like Krishna's telling me. Everyone, especially a lot of sentimental Indians speak like that, and probably every Russian speaks like that. You know, I think Krishna's telling me. I said, really? You know, you got neck beads last year, and already you have a red line to Krishna. It's so easy to talk to Krishna. So, the history of anybody that's ever experience, you know, Krishna directly, it begins with the eyes. It's called Sakshatkara. It's called Darshan. They see Krishna. Then they see Krishna. Then maybe they smell Krishna. Hearing Krishna's voice or speaking Krishna, that's very rare. Very, very rare. So everybody is initiated. Last 2 years ago, I got initiated in Ukraine. Acha. Yeah, I'm having so many dreams of Krishna. Krishna's telling me this, that. So, wow, powerful, powerful guru, powerful mantras. Amazing. Then 10 years later, I say, what happened to that guy? Oh, he's driving a truck, you know. That. I said, what happened? Well, Krishna told him to do that. Yeah, I guess. Don't mind, I'm sorry, because from my side, it's like the one side, the guy's singing, and there's 3,000 people looking at him. And so he's singing, he's trying to be really serious, and he sees some monkey comes in the back door and jumps on some lady's hat and starts running across everybody's head with the hat on. He's trying to keep from laughing. And everybody thinks, what's he smiling about? He's talking about the hellish planets in the fifth canto. Because he's seeing what other people aren't seeing. The audience, the devotees. So when you're saying something serious about making a decision, Krishna's telling me I'm seeing something else because I've heard this so many times. So better we take it. We study we know the shastras. We should have good shastric knowledge, and because if we're a disciple, we can ask guru. We can get guru's idea. We can get senior devotee's idea. We can consult guru. We can consult shastra. It says that everywhere. It says when you're reading shastra, the super soul is speaking in a shastra. Super soul is speaking through the mouth of the Brahman. Krishna is speaking through the mouth of the Brahman. Krishna is speaking through the mouth of the guru. The guru is Krishna, Sakshat Krishna, Sakshat Hari, and then the devotees. So then we hear from all of them. And then we have our own. So Krishna is intelligent. Krishna says, if you're my devotee, I'll give you intelligence. Once Prabhupada said, it's maybe written in a purport of a book, I thought it was in the fourth canto. I'd have to search it, I can't. I'm just recalling from my memory of 42 years. But I remember once, two things Prabhupada said. He said, you should understand, when you meet with the guru, directly with the guru, and you speak with him, or inquire from him, that you're directly meeting the super soul. Super soul is directly speaking to you through the form of the guru. The Kripa Shakti Murtiya Bhagavan. And the second point, I remember, that's from some statement. The second point was in a purport somewhere, I remember. Prabhupada said, he said, what is intelligence? And intelligence is the form, direction of the super soul. The form, direction. Do you understand what this means? The super soul, it's just like SMS, you might say, like if you send me some question, I say, I want your instructions on something. So I type a message in SMS and I send it to you. So when you get the SMS, you can read it, my answer, my instructions. So you can say the SMS is the form of the instruction of Maharaj. Yes? Or I write you a letter. Oh, you wrote me a letter, here's my instructions. Do number one, and number two, number three. Like a doctor, you send a doctor a letter. Why have this disease? What do you recommend? Okay, he writes back a letter, one, two, three. So intelligence is the form direction. That's why I said that the direction will come from intelligence. Discrimination comes from intelligence. And that's how we make our decisions, based on the intelligence linked with the super soul. And how do you link the intelligence with the super soul? Through shastra, through sadhu. Intelligence is the foreign direction of the super soul. So our intelligence becomes saturated with spiritual knowledge and spiritual kripa and the mercy of Krishna, then we can take a proper decision. And it may fail, because Krishna wants it to fail. Even Krishna tells us the right, Krishna through shastra or through guru or sadhu, he tells us. There's where he'll tell us. Not through the mind. I don't know if it's my mind. It's nothing. It's just nothing. It's just not the super soul. Super soul speaks through the shastras and understand what the shastras and what the super soul are saying. You should confirm it with guru and sadhu. And then take your decision with their input and their kripa and their insight and explanation. So even then, guru tells you to do some and gives you the solution or the instruction. And you do it and may fail. Why? Is the guru's fault? No. He gave proper instruction, he gave the right instruction. Because Krishna wants it to fail, to teach you some other thing. About more deeper surrender, or some don't be attached to result, or you did it, and I know, and Krishna knows that if I give him success, he'll fail. I mean, he'll lose his bhakti or become proud and then become offensive, then have to suffer for that. So to protect him, I'll give him failure now to protect his longer steady practice of bhakti. Just like there's verses, I'm thinking 11th canto, it says that Krishna fulfills the desires, 5th canto or 11th canto, Krishna fulfills the desires of everyone that approaches him. It says that in 2nd canto, akama sarva kamova moksha kamo dharati tireena bhakti yogena sayate purusham param. So whether you have no desires, or whether you want cities and all kinds of powers, or whether it says akama, sakama, or sarvakama, you know, free from desire, or you want cities, or you want so many things, I fulfill them. But for Krishna says, I fulfill the desires of everyone, but I fulfill them in such a way, I will fulfill the desires. Anyone who worships me, they must get result. I'm God. Krishna is God. So if someone worships me and prays, if it's their destiny and if I want to give it to them, there's so many factors involved, I will give them success. I will fulfill their desires. But Krishna says, I will do it in such a way, because if I just fulfill his desires and he gets what he wants, okay, he gets it, then he'll ask again and again, and that way stay in a samsara and never get liberated. So Krishna says, I fulfill everyone's desires, but here's the catch. Because demigods, they simply fulfill the desires. Oh, you want this power by which you can crack heads, and you offered your flesh into the fire, and your name is Brikasura. Brikasura, 10th canto, chapter 88, and he's worshiping Shiva. Idam masam, om namo shivaya, idam masam, om namo shivaya. Masam means please accept this offering of fat, flesh. Because he was cutting his flesh, offering in the fire. Idam masam, om namo shivaya. So now he said, oh, Shiva's not coming after 7 days. Well, let me cut my head. He's about to cut his head off. He's that desperate. And that's serious about fulfilling his desire. Shiva came, what do you want? I want the power. Anyone I touch with my finger cracks their head. She was okay. Bhavatu. Tatastu. And it's because the demigods, they just fulfill desires. That's why people like to worship them. They don't care what happens to the person. They may fulfill their desire. They fulfill their desires, and that person gets the power, or the opulence, or the position, by the mercy of that devata. And then he misuses it and gets shot, murdered, goes to hell, whatever. Forgets about Shiva. You know, use the ladder to get to the roof, then throw away the ladder. So use Shiva to get all kinds of political power and worship him with all thousands of pujas and yagyas. Then he blesses you. You become the big PM or MP or whatever. Then you say, oh, okay, I enjoy now. Forget about Shiva. No more puja, no more anything. Then one day, some mafia comes and finishes you off. So demigod, so Brikasura, back to Brikasura. As soon as Brikasura got this power, he said, oh, that's nice. Let me crack your head. he said, Shiva, I'm going to crack. He said, what do you want to do that for? I you worship me. I'm your lord. I'm Devata. No, I want to enjoy Parvati. So if I kill you, then I can get your wife. Ha ha ha. So Shiva's running, and then Krishna had to take the form of a small boy to save him. At least that's what's in the Bhagavad Puran. I'm sure if you look in the Shiva Puran, you won't find that story. Because Shiva Puran, Shiva's not running away depending on Krishna for protection. Shiva's supreme. So that's Shiva Puran. But Bhagavad Puran, Krishna's supreme. And so there, Bhagavad Puran. So therefore, he's saving Shiva. So this is the point, that we should depend on Krishna, and we just make a decision based on whatever inspiration. It's called prerna. Prerna means inspiration. We'll get inspiration, the idea from the super soul, which will be given to our intelligence, the form direction. The super soul, Krishna in the heart, he types the SMS, and the SMS comes out in your intelligence. It's printed there. Then your mind can read it. Then the intelligence gives the message to the mind. So that's called a decision. The message from the super soul comes through the intelligence. Therefore, the intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. It's a very, very brilliant and eloquent way to describe or define intelligence. So that's the general person. Now imagine a devotee, a pure devotee. Someone is totally surrendered to God. So when he makes decisions, if he's a very high, advanced devotee, then they may be very successful because Krishna's making that decision for him. But if he's not, especially if it's a liberated soul, you see Prabhupada, he had to make a lot of decisions. He made lots of decisions, and most of them were correct. were successful because he's a liberated soul. He had, Krishna was directly guiding him through his intelligence. And of course, he was extremely intelligent himself and extremely experienced and great powers of logic. And he was a very extraordinary personality, no doubt, Srila Prabhupada. So we, in our small way, we all get intellectual input. So we have to understand, forget it, don't disturb the super soul by mentioning, oh, Krishna told me this. Krishna's busy with Leela. Why do you want to bring him into deciding whether or not to buy a big motorcycle or a small motorcycle? Krishna inspired me. I have to buy a Bullet, you know, an Enfield. Why don't you just get a little Honda? You know, it's cheaper in gas. No, no, it doesn't go, bup, 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 you know. It doesn't sound cool. You know? Krishna inspired me. Krishna inspired me to serve my body. So, does that answer your question?